The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 24, verses 24 to 27. Please turn to page 231 of the New Testament. It's Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 27. Allow me to read the words of God. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he was sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Amen. Paul self-demonstrated to inquire investigation on the false accusation that fell onto him at the court of Governor Felix. He revealed the truth. The huge mob of accusers, including the high priest Ananias and Tertullus, the lawyer they bought to bring death sentence to Paul using the Roman Empire's positive law with his clever tongue, could do nothing more than to remain silent before the truth revealed by Paul. Governor Felix also realized the truth about Paul, but deliberately ignored it and delayed sentence without any definite term. Reason being, first, because not to face any rage of the high priest's group who have been bribing him regularly, and second, to receive bribes from Paul, thinking that he'd be rich. Felix ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard in Herod's palace, under the condition that Paul will be given somewhat freedom. Let's look into verse 24. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. A few days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla and sent for Paul privately. Felix had three wives, and Drusilla, the Jewish woman, was his third wife. It was also third marriage for Drusilla, King Herod's granddaughter, and Herod Agrippa's daughter. They questioned Paul about his faith on Jesus Christ. And Paul gladly responded them. Let's look into the first part of verse 25. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Paul preached about the key factors of believing in Jesus Christ in three words: righteousness, self-control, and judgment. Righteousness means the proper relationship with God as we know it. If you stay inside the proper relationship with God, in which you serve God as God and become his creation inside Jesus Christ, then God's righteousness naturally reveals itself. The ultimate goals of the Christians of repeating faith training through gospel and prayers is to live in the proper relationship with God. The self-control, which Paul mentioned, does not mean frugality or controlling, as many misunderstand it. When parents tell their child who spend money excessively to control, it means to save money. When a wife tells her alcoholic husband to control, she means to drink only a suitable amount, but the Greek word enkratia, which was translated as self-control, means to put aside something, to set aside something you shouldn't do, in other words, to eliminate it from your life entirely. The path of eternal life and the path of desire that leads to death never overlap in any case. You will never be able to seek after the path of eternal life unless you put aside the path of desire. Anyone who has drunk the water from the spring water of life on the path of life will never again return to the path of desire that is bound to end with empty death. And lastly, the judgment of God, as we have learned from the New Believers class, Mature Believers class, and the class for the called, means eternal punishment to those who do not believe. But to those children of God who have been saved, it means God's calculation and God's reward. God calculates how and for what the time, objects, talents, and such that he has given to his children have been used, and rewards his children on the last day according to his calculation. Let's look into Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If God was not the God of judgment, who calculates and then rewards us, there is no reason for us to make efforts to follow and live according to the words of God. To explain the key factors of faith in three words, righteousness, self-control, and judgment, was a typical crystal clear sermon made by the great apostle Paul. For Felix and Drusilla, this was the golden opportunity for them to receive Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the cross. But their reactions were nothing close to what we expected. Latter part of verse 25. Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." Governor Felix was afraid when he heard that the key factors of faith were righteousness, self-control, and judgment from Paul. The word afraid does not quite reflect the meaning of the original word entirely. The Greek verb emphavos means to be surprised and to be possessed by fear. There was a reason why Felix was surprised and then possessed by fear after hearing Paul preach. Religion practitioners at the time did not say anything uncomfortable for those empowered to hear. Just like the lawyer Tertullus did, they only preached on something the men in power would like to hear. But to unrighteous Felix, who desired bribes and was blinded by lust, even with three wives in his hands, the three words righteousness, self-control, and judgment were nothing he could take, frankly. What's more, Paul's sermon that he will be judged by God one day, which never occurred to him at all in his life, was terrifying enough for Felix. And so Felix hurriedly sent Paul back to where he was confined up in, telling Paul that he will call upon him when he had time. Let's look into verse 26. At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. But Felix's fear did not last long. He later instead sent for Paul more frequently in the expectation that he might offer bribe to Felix. Most newly risen religions were inseparable from money. So Felix expected that Paul, the leader of this new religion called Christianism, would have plenty of money. What's more, Paul told Felix at the court that the reason he visited Jerusalem was to deliver relief collection from the Macedonian Christians to the people in Jerusalem who suffered from an extreme famine. Paul's such testimony made Felix feel sure that Paul had a lot of money. So, Felix privately sent for Paul more frequently. Come to think of it, we can learn that Felix already had expectations on bribery when he came with his wife Drusilla and then sent for Paul. But when it seems highly unlikely that Paul will bribe Felix, no matter how many times Felix met Paul privately, Felix left Paul in the Herod's palace for 2 years. The key factors of faith, righteousness, self-control, and judgment that Felix had heard from Paul were no longer bothering him anymore. Let's look into verse 27. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. 2 years later, Governor Felix was summoned to Rome by Emperor Nero. Jews and Greeks mingled about in the residence area of the governor, Caesarea. When a dispute broke out between the two groups, in order to dominate the area, Felix did not deal with this fairly, according to the law. But he used his army to oppress the Jews and sided with the Greeks. He abused his powers. In this process, many Jews lost lives or fortune and such. To this, the angry Jews sent a petition to Emperor Nero, and as a result, Felix was summoned. He was dishonorably resigned from his office. Festus was expected to succeed in Felix's position as the next governor. Felix realized that Paul had been confined for 2 years because he did not sentence him anything while preparing to hand over duties to his new successor, Festus. Then Felix was supposed to conclude the trial on Paul by declaring his innocence before his term and responsibility was all over. But Felix did not carry out his responsibilities again. Governor Felix left Paul in prison in order to grant a favor to the Jews. The Greek verb deo, which was translated as left in, means to bind. Felix was summoned due to the petition by the Jews. And he wanted to win favor from them before resigning. So he tied Paul up and locked him up in the prison again. He calculated that it was better for him to have Paul confined in the prison, as the Jews wanted, rather than resigning, being criticized by the Jews for declaring Paul's innocence. Felix slyly shifted the duties of judging Paul to the new governor Festus in order to protect himself. Felix, who was full of populism, self-protectionism, and complacency, was a typical irresponsible corrupted official. The more we think about him, the more pathetic Felix was. Who exactly was Paul? Is he not the greatest apostle in the 2,000 year worth of Christian history? Governor Felix officially heard the great apostle Paul's self-demonstration, heard the great apostle Paul's sermon on the key factors of faith privately. And not only that, they had private meetings continuously. How many people among the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago would have had that sort of chance to have such private meetings with the great apostle Paul? Was this not a true big blessing from God to Felix? If Felix had listened to the great apostle Paul and received the Lord, would he not have turned to be another Christian who would have renewed a part of Roman Empire 2,000 years ago? But he was only in fear, only in that moment when he heard about the righteousness, self-control, and judgment from Paul. And when that moment passed, his interest was on money again. To him, Paul wasn't the great apostle, but some pushover he can extort money from. Just to extort money from Paul, Felix sent for Paul more frequently. It doesn't say how his last days have been since Felix had been dishonorably resigned after throwing away the chance to be saved with his own two hands. According to Josephus, a historian, Felix's wife Drusilla died with Agrippa, her son she bore with Felix, in Pompeii in 79 BC from the volcano eruption of the Mount Vesuvius. People cannot keep their current position until the day they grow old and die. However high a position, one must come down from it when the day comes. No one lives hundreds of thousands of years in their physical body either. To humans, death is the law of God that no one can dodge from. But for Christians, nothing will change in the fact that they are the instruments of God, even if they leave their positions. For Christians, it is all the same that death is the starting point of eternal life in the Lord, whether they die from a volcano eruption, from a war, from sickness, or die in one's sleep. If Felix and Drusilla received the Lord, after personally listening to Paul's preaching, then they would have been beautifully used as the instruments of God in their lives, even after leaving their positions, and stand gratefully before God, who calculates and then rewards through any sort of death. But they threw away their chances with their own hands and became subject to eternal judgment. The more we think about them, the more pathetic and pitiful they are. But we must never forget that those pathetic Felix and Drusilla are the self-portraits of ourselves. Do we, believers of God, know anything about the judgment of God? Do we ever become afraid, at least for a while, when we read about any judgment inside the Bible? Or listen to sermons about God's judgment, like today? But isn't that fear a momentary one, and our interests in life are on money, just like Felix? Can we really call ourselves true Christians who believe in righteousness, self-control, and judgment, even while we live like that? There are not many who do not know that the three factors of faith are the righteousness, self-control, and judgment. But there also aren't so many Christians who properly realize that the key factors of faith into their lives. This is because most Christians do not know that the progress of faith advances in reverse order, even though they realize that the key factors of faith are righteousness, self-control, and judgment. True faith always starts with God's judgment. In other words, God's calculation, believing in God's calculation and rewarding. Only to those who believe in the judgment of God can life of righteousness and self-control be eventually involved. Only those who believe in God's judgment can freely put aside what should be from their lives, like Christians should, in preparation of the day. Only those who believe in God's judgment can remember God's calculation and sow the seeds that they must, even in tears. As a result, only those who believe in God's judgment can look up to God's reward and live in the proper relationship with God at all times. If only Felix had believed and received the Lord, his life had been changed completely. There are a number of students at school. Let's say that one day a teacher notified the students of a test date. Those who do not care about it would keep playing and doing what they want as usual. And of course they will ruin their exams. But on the other hand, those who take it seriously will do their best to prepare for the test, laying aside what they like to do, such as computer games and playing outside. They would get relatively better results and would get some prizes at their graduations. The same is true with having faith. it is only possible that for those who believe in God's judgment to follow God's words with self-control and righteousness in the right relationship with God. For those who do not believe in God's judgment may understand what self-control and righteousness are, but they can't be embodied in their lives. Paul preached in the court of Felix that I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Did he not? Christians tend to think that there will be a resurrection only for Christians, but Paul mentioned resurrection for the wicked as well. As I said last time, what Paul said is based on those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. There will be a judgment for both the righteous and the wicked. The judgment for the righteous is the calculation and reward for the eternal life, but the judgment for the wicked is the eternal death. Paul believed in the judgment of God. If he had not believed in God's judgment, he would have lived a life of a nominal Christian as well, having nothing to do with the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 9, 24-27 is a confession made by Paul. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. The reason why Paul beat his body and made it his slave was that he believed in God's judgment. It was natural that God used him as his instrument to renew the world with God's hands that are never too short. As I have said before, there is no word for equality in Korean, in the Bible, no matter how much you search for it. God is not the God of equality. This is also Paul's testimony. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. God is not the God of equality, but the God of fairness, who lets us reap only what we sow. It is because God is the God of judgment only those who believe in this world, only those who believe in this would be able to lay aside and give up things that without looking back. Only those who believe in God's judgment would sow what they should sow, even if they weep, and fulfill what they are responsible for, even when others criticize them. Only those who believe in God's judgment and would stay in the right relationship with God. It is obvious that God would use them as his instruments to fulfill his mysterious providence with his arms that are never too short. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for giving us the answer of how Paul was able to fight the good fight without any compromising. How he was able to finish his race without valuing his life at all. And how he was able to keep his faith despite being beheaded. It was possible for Paul, since he believed in the judgments of God, the righteous judge who calculates and rewards. Please forgive us for not fulfilling the righteousness, self-control, and judgment, even though we understand them in our minds, because we have been wrapped up in following materialism and desires like an idol. Let us have the willingness of self-control that lays aside what we have to, and the righteous relationship with God as a result. Let us live like Paul, as a role model of faith. Unlike Felix, as the image of the wretched, we pray in Jesus' name, Amen.